Welcome to the podcast. Join Nate and Mike, lifelong friends, as they discuss stocks and investing. The name says it all. This is Two Buds Talk Stocks. All opinions expressed by Nate and Mike are their own. Please do not buy or sell stocks based solely on what you hear.
Welcome to the pod. We are live. The ever rare afternoon recording. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing great. I'm pumped. We get to look at historical returns today, which is my favorite because it does one thing. It puts things in perspective. But before that, I got some rapid fire questions for you. You have no idea what these questions are, so I'd like to get your gauge on some of these, and then we'll dive into some S&P 500 historical data stuff. And I got a pretty good buy, sell, and hold at the end for you.
All right.
Okay. First one. And I love it when this happens to companies. FedEx, the owner of FedEx, he started the company. And I always think there's a little bit when you've got the owner that's been there for 50 years, that I do think there's a little bit of a stagnant portion that comes with that. And I think it's great when you get rid of the owner, because this is his baby. This is what he started. He's a little bit more invested. You get a new CEO who just cares about making the company bigger, better, and hitting their bonus targets. Mm-hmm. So FedEx got their new CEO. New CEO, first action he did was increase the dividend.
I saw this.
By 53%. And I like that because you can tell. And again, this is pure speculation on my end, that I think that the previous CEO owner was like, well, you know, who started it. Well, I believe, you know, I was there in the 1980s and the 1990s and the bull markets and the bear markets. And I don't think we should increase the dividend. And I think it's great that the CEO comes in. I don't want to say cleans house, but really makes a huge shift to EV vehicles, which has been actually starting right now, increasing the dividend by 53%. They report today. FedEx, what do you think about the 53% dividend increase?
FedEx is one that I think is yo-yoed here a little bit. I mean, it's great that they're raising the dividend, especially right now, because I'm sure their overhead costs are extremely high at the moment. Factor in that one of their biggest expenses is always going to be fuel between planes, trucks, and everything in between. So I would say it's a very, very bullish signal as far as what they believe the future to be. I remember it was like last Christmas-ish, we were talking about investments in FedEx, and we were saying that they were having troubles meeting the supply and demand of just getting employees on the to deliver packages. So, I mean, I like it, but FedEx is one that has also been shown to hold the dividend or even cut the dividend if times gets too tough. So I think that's really what we got to do to see here is if we are going into a recession or a bear market. I mean, the number one things company does when things get tight is to hold the dividend or cut it. But I will say, based on the timing, it's a very bullish signal. I mean, you own shares, I own shares. I'm not selling either way.
Right now, I'm adding to mine. FedEx is positive for the year for me. Mm-hmm. How I've been dollar cost averaging, I'm up 8%, which is awesome in today's market, which we'll talk about later. PE ratio 11%. We'll do a little, I'll refer back to FedEx later in the episode, if you know what I mean. Okay. All right. Another CEO left, but this time he was straight up fired. And I never want to see people get fired. Dan Schulman, DocuSign. Now that I got the right name, right? I'm just doing this off the top of my head, right? Dan Schulman.
Yeah, did he
right?
get fired or did he step down?
Dan way. Springer. Dan Springer.
All right.
Schulman's PayPal,
right? That's right. Yep.
But he should get fired too, in my opinion. Anyway, I'm moving forward. DocuSign guy fired, resigned, stepped down, whatever you want to call it. I think with these growth companies, they're definitely been burnt to the ground. A couple are going to make it through the ashes. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're talking historical stuff at the, O2 O2 bubble of tech bubble. Amazon made it out through there. You know, a lot of them didn't, you know, but some are going to make it through, whether it's the Zoom, CrowdStrike, Snowflake, Shopify, Coinbase, DocuSign. I think a lot of them won't be here in 10 years, one or two of them is going to make it. I think DocuSign getting rid of Dan Springer, getting in a new CEO. Now it could be just every 15 months they're getting new CEOs and changing them. I think it's good that they got rid of them. I'm still not a buyer of DocuSign. Any thoughts on Dan Springer stepping down?
Yeah, this is one that I heard this on the news. And I can remember it was Cramer way back in the day. And I mean, I don't listen much to Cramer anymore or put a lot of stake into what he says. But he basically said if the CFO just randomly steps down one day, that's a red flag as far as accounting things. And it's not nearly as bad as if the CEO steps down randomly. If the CFO steps down, it's far worse because of the numbers. So I'm going to take this as maybe it's not as bad. But I still would say it is a big, like a red check to me. It makes me scratch my head. I mean, he is the founder and he was the leader. And then just to randomly just step down one day, I don't know. I think we're going to hear more about this. So it's a hold for me as well right now, or I'm holding it. I'm not adding any more.
This is a good segue for us to talk about the S&P 500 historical data here. I mean, if you look at the returns of 1995 to 1999, in those years, there were people saying, we don't know if this internet's going to stick around. We don't know if this is going to, the internet's going to turn into what it did. When we saw I'm jumping the gun here and we'll start talking about the S&P 500 here. You know, when we saw a huge, the bubble burst in 2002, people thought tech was dead and that was never going to come back. So that's a good segue. Never thought you'd talk about buggies and carriages, but those were around in 1928, right? Am I way off?
I mean, I don't know where we were with the automobile. I mean, it was the turn of the century in the 1900s.
Model T was around, maybe? Yeah.
But I mean, airplanes again talks about how airplanes, the Wright brother had taken their first flight, and it was 15 years after that people were still talking about hot air balloons or blimps were going to be the mode of transportation. And this thing that we use all the time now wasn't even on the radar. I mean, And electricity in the house. I mean, everybody said, wait, we're going to put little wires that run to every single house in this country. And we're going to just make it so that they can flip a switch and they can have electricity in their homes. It'll never, ever work. And that's what everybody said. And look where we are now. So this is not to say crypto or Bitcoin is going to take off, but it does make me think that there are similarities.
Well, and that's just, again, my point of, you just have to be, no one knows anything. They really don't, including me, including you. And that's just, I just remember vividly, I still think Bitcoin's going to rip up to 100,000 by the end of 2024, but it sounds like I have some conviction to that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea. No one knows. So S&P 500, I got data all the way till 1928. And I think I already told you two of these questions, but I'm still going to kind of blow some people's minds here. So from 1928, I wish I didn't tell you so you could surprise it. 2022, there's been six times that the S&P 500 had a 20% or more drop. Six times since 1928 to 2022. Obviously, this year we're down 21% year to date in 6 months. That is factoring one of the six times. And of those six times, there are three, without you looking, there are three times where the S&P 500 was down 30% or more, three times. And before I ask you what 3 years you think those were, that's where when people say, oh, we got another 40% ahead of us, you know, again, reading those articles, we might see another 40% decrease. We've never seen a 60% decrease since the inception of the S&P 500. So let's pump the brakes on that. Okay. We've never seen a 50% decrease in the S&P 500. So putting you on the spot here, can you name the 3 years that were down 30% or more?
Most recently, just working backwards, 2020, March to whatever, I think is when.
No, I'm talking the full year though.
Oh, the whole year was down 30%, not just the 30%.
Yeah,
drop.
I'm talking January 1st to, or, you know, like 2022 is a different because we're in the year. But like, for example, 2021 from the year it opened to close up 26.89%. There have been three times from January 1st to January or December 31st where the market was down more than 30%.
This is, Yeah, I'm going to really have to think about this now, because I was thinking just 30% drops. So I also don't think this was in the financial crisis, I think, because the way it overlapped with it was the year of 2008 thing, because I was going
to
say
2008. And this is to put things in perspective. And this is what I'm trying to do. This is me just helping myself out too. 2008, the biggest financial crisis of all years, I would agree. Not inflation or anything like that. Inflation was higher in 1980 and in the 70s, down 38.49%. Mm-hmm. For the viewers that might be not young enough to remember in 2000 or two, or yeah, too young. And the people that are old enough, they do remember in 08, people thought the entire financial banking system would collapse, and it could have by the way. And we saw a 38.49% decrease. So when people say we're going to get another 20%, I don't think we're going to see a worse year than 2008. So I spoiled 2008. That's 38%. We got two more years. And these are pretty hard ones to get, Nate. You want me to just tell you?
No, I was going to say, I'm going to take a guess because okay. I don't think it's the dot-com bubble then.
Nope. Dot-com bubble.
I'm
going
to say the one that always, again, this is before yours and mine, our time on the planet. But I heard a lot about some bear market in the early 70s with an oil crisis, inflation. So was it one of them, 74, I think, was a really bad year?
You know what? That was very fantastic. You didn't get it, but 74 was 29.72%. Okay. And if you take 73 minus 17.37%, 74 minus 29.72%. Those 24 months is probably one of the hardest stretches.
Yeah.
Until you go, you'd have to go. And I'm just going to tell you, because that was a good guess. We've got stock market crash of 29. That was only down 11% year to date.
29. Yeah. And then again, it was just lots of ups and downs.
30 was 28%, but 1931, this is the worst of recorded history, was S&P 500 was down 47%. And you brought this up, and I'm going to spoil it for you. In 1931, the S&P 500 opened at 1585.
Mm-hmm.
For it to get back to 1585 at a close, we had to go to 1948.
This, I was looking at a website, because what I wanted to see too, we talked about this, and then I was thinking this is probably, if any of our listeners take anything away from us in this episode, is again, this is a good example of dollar cost averaging. So what I wanted to see is, again, from that 1500 price to get back to that 1500 price, we said was well over 15 years. And if you had just invested a lump sum at that high in 31, you would have had to wait 15 years right before you were just,
yep,
you're back to zero, you're even. But I found this website, and I don't know how accurate it is. It's just officialdata.org, but it shows the months along the way. So if you had made contributions along the way, just doing some back of the envelope math over that same period, you would have had a 61% return. So invest
That's
a lump
I'm
sum.
Buying now. High,
yeah. This is the listeners. We'll hammer it home. You're never going to buy at the absolute bottom. You're never going to buy at the top. But boy, if you could look back now at that period and knowing that you invested every single month and you ended up with a 61% return over a 15-year period, annualized, still not great. But looking at the alternative of just doing the lump sum investment and having a 0% return over that same period, it'll smooth out that ride.
Well, and the other thing too, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but statistically speaking, if you go down, because it's end of June, we're not even 6 months through.
Mm-hmm.
Statistically speaking, when their Dow has gone, or the S&P has gone down 20% or more in 6 months, the following 6 months, it's gone up 23%.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say we're going to end in the positive, because that would be a positive return. I'm just going to say this. When you see someone that says another 40% is coming, that's clickbait to me. I don't know anything, but for us to see a 60% drop, that's never even happened. World War II, the financial crisis, the 73 to 74 bear market, the 1980s, that's never happened before. 47% 1931 was the biggest hit we have. And that's where you realize with this, that like as much as 2008 stung, 2009 up 23%. And just like another thing too, and I urge people to look at this. All it does is put things in perspective. 2019 up 28%, 2020 up 16%, 2021 up 26%. People thought it could only get higher. And I think having this 21% decrease, it stings. But just imagine that rip if we see another 18% next year, another 22% the year after that, another 18% after that, we're going to be well above those lows that we're looking at. So I'm just saying, hang in there, look at some of these, look at some of the data here. And that's kind of why, to your point, you can't go wrong with just buying the S&P 500 because they're always, changing these stocks throughout it. That's all I had on the S&P.
Just a couple of things to tie that together. If people are so inclined to invest in crypto, I would say just take nibbles here and there. Do not commit your entire net worth. And again, something that can go to zero that's more speculative. Never risk more than you're willing to lose. There's been several crypto platforms here too that Celsius has had problems where they no longer have withdrawals because liquidity's tight. BlockFi, which I use, is still making me a little nervous that they had to take out a loan. They say they're financially still strong. But that's the other thing I would say with crypto too is research which platform you're doing. Whether you're holding your coins on somebody else's exchange, or if you want to put them in your own wallet, but be aware of that. The other thing too is just if you think that it is, to use your example, Mike, and I can't take credit for this. I think it was Nick Majuli I heard that said this, is just to use round numbers. If you think the market was going to go down another 36% from here, the question I heard him, the way I heard him pose it is, if it goes down 36% from here, do you think that at that point that it's eventually going to recover? And if you think it's going to recover, it doesn't matter if it's 3, 5, 10 years, then you should invest. If you think it's going to go down 36% and it's going to keep going down and the world's going to end, then by all means, don't invest. But if you're realistic and you think that the market will recover at some point, then you should be putting money in, because he said, if you go down 36% and you say, maybe it's going to take 3 years just to get back to zero. Well, that would be like getting just a 12% return on each dollar that you put in now for those next 3 years or whatever.
Well, so, and I'm going to investment to add, because people keep, because I've actually had feedback and questions with this. You keep saying put in the market, but you got to, me personally, I'm going with no, I've said this before in the last four pods, and maybe people are bored of this. I'm going with no brainers. Mm-hmm. I'm going with ETFs. I'm going with I'm adding to financial ETFs. I'm adding to tech ETFs. I'm adding to healthcare ETFs because, we've talked about it before, these Shopify's, DocuSigns, those could take, they may never come back.
That's a good point.
And they may not come back for 15 years, right? But the overall market, if you're like, well, what do I buy it in? Just do the S&P 500. That's when saying putting it back in the market.
I agree.
Or just put it into the VTI, which is the total index, the Russell 2K. Don't overthink it. My oldest son doesn't really listen to the pod because it's not cool probably. But, I'm having him, he's working a summer job. He's 19. I'm having him every paycheck put something in the market. And I'm telling him, look, I don't care what you put it in, just put it in. He's putting it in the VYM dividend appreciation, or the dividend fund that just has dividend stocks in it. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. That's going to be there in 10, 15 years. And that's where you got to be careful. I'm not saying just pick any stock will be around, because a lot of these, maybe we can have an whole episode about these stocks that have been burnt and what's going to come out of the ashes with these Shopify's, all those kinds of stocks. Again, that's why I'm buying the ARK, because why buy try to find the needle in haystack, just buy the haystack. So yeah, I like that. Just give it when you're getting all this feedback, whether it's from family members, Jim Cramer, me, Nate, just look at historical data. And we now have, and I do feel bad for the people that were investing in 1929, 1932, 1933, because back then this was investing in Bitcoin. Like people didn't know what this standard Poor 500 was, if it's going to be around, all that stuff. But when you're, you know, looking from 1928 to 2022, I think that's giving us enough historical data that you can really come to some pretty good conclusions. All right, I got to buy and sell hold for you.
Lay it on me.
I'm not going to do DocuSign. I'm going to do, actually, let's see here.
Thing about DocuSign too is still, even with their CEO stepping down, even with the pullback on the stock, it still sure fits in that verb category, right? I mean, nothing's changed with that. I mean, you got paperwork, just DocuSign it, right?
Yep,
you need a ride, Uber, you want to look it up, Google. I mean, this still is a, what I would call a bullish sentiment is if a company becomes a verb. So that would make me think that.
I think they're still leading Adobe at this point in time. And I don't think it's as easy. And I go back to a couple episodes where I said, Microsoft can make their own Zoom. I don't think it's that easy. I don't think, Adobe just makes their own DocuSign. I don't think it's that easy because it's not that easy. Apple can make their own Amazon. I don't think it's that easy. So, all right.
You just made me think of something because didn't they too, right before this news came out about the CEO, I want to say I saw something. I didn't look too closely. Microsoft took a partnership with DocuSign.
Ooh.
We should look this up before have producer Tom check this. But this makes me think that isn't this what Microsoft has done the last several years with their tuck-in acquisitions?
All right.
Maybe they're planting the seeds here to just buy the company outright.
June 7th. Thanks, Tom, for this too. So June 7th, DocuSign announced an expansion of its global strategic partnership with Microsoft to accelerate how people collaborate and come to agreement in the anywhere economy. So it looks like Microsoft is critical to our vision, streamline our. So it looks like they did a collaboration.
I want to say, isn't this how it started with LinkedIn or what was?
Look at this.
The video.
This is what it includes. DocuSign signature will be part for Microsoft Teams. DocuSign e-signature for Microsoft 365. DocuSign CLM for Microsoft Word. DocuSign e-signature will be part of PowerPoint.
It just seems like I'm going to go. I mean,
all right. Now I'll let you answer then. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to interrupt you. Buy, sell, and hold. FedEx, Bitcoin, DocuSign. I'm going to. Sorry if I'm all over the place. I got to reread this article because I'm not saying. Look, disclaimer. Don't go out and buy a bunch of DocuSign. The PE ratio is crazy. It still could go down another 70%. It could, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying a Microsoft DocuSign partnership is a pretty big deal.
I would agree with that. And all I was going to go with that too, and I'm still going to stand by this one. And is as far as I'm concerned, this is still an open trade. I mean, months ago, I said that I still think that Apple can just swoop up and buy Peloton, if nothing else, just for the brand, for the software. And it would be nothing to them with the amount of cash they have on their balance sheet. If Microsoft is already signing partnership deals with DocuSign, with the way that valuation, and it's still outrageously valued, but as far as the overall dollar amount, Microsoft has so much cash. They could do just a stock deal. I would not, I'm gonna put this, we're gonna open up this trade right now that I would say that at some point, Microsoft's just gonna buy DocuSign. Now that's just my two cents.
First, it's so funny because the CEO Dan Springer's like, hey, I got Microsoft. Oh, sounds great. You're fired.
Maybe that's why he did it. He just wanted to stick around. He's already talking to the Microsoft team. I get to be CEO of this division or whatever. Like, don't worry, we got it from here. And he's just like, oh, forget.
I mean, that's
guys.
a good. I mean, I will say that DocuSign's 52-week high was 314, and they're trading at $65.50. And I can't believe I didn't bring this up.
Mm-hmm.
The rumors. Netflix buying Roku. I'm surprised that this is what these stocks have been hit so hard. Why these companies aren't being, wow, that's pretty big for that. I'm not saying I'm going to go out and buy DocuSign. Be careful with this. Mm-hmm. Do your research. See why,
Yeah. I mean,
why, you know, do your research on this. This could, you could lose another 30% of it.
I mean, I think you would agree. I mean, I would never go out and buy an individual stock just based on the assumption or thought that it could be acquired by,
right,
by another company.
But it's a good sign is all I'm getting at. So I'll do a buy, sell, or hold DocuSign, Bitcoin, FedEx.
This one's pretty straightforward right now, especially I've been trying to refocus, not just during market downturns, but overall there's probably something to be said for assets that consistently generate cash flow and reward shareholders with buybacks or with dividends. So FedEx hits the mark on both of those. So I'd be buying more FedEx. DocuSign, I'm going to hold just because I already own it. It's a verb. I don't think the technology is going anywhere. And Bitcoin, because it is speculative at this point and I already have a little bit in my portfolio, I would just be selling that.
I actually think Bitcoin's probably a safer asset at this point in time than DocuSign, in my opinion.
you think so? Oh,
that's well, I mean, I just, DocuSign, it just, look, it, what's tough is, and it's not DocuSign's fault, but DocuSign is just lumped in with Zoom, Peloton, you know, they're forever, right now, forever linked together. Roku, you know, all these companies that are, I mean, DocuSign's down 80%. Roku's down, again, I could be off 10 or 20% here, but Coinbase, DocuSign, Zoom, Roku, those are all off, give or take 80%, right? And, you know, Peloton, they're all lumped in together. And I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but, you know, DocuSign has that stigma and there should be a name for these instead of growth stocks. We should come up with our own name. They are part of that core, you know, I mean, the whole pulled forward pandemic play.
I mean, verb stocks pull forward, but I mean, companies like Roku, Zoom, DocuSign, they all have a business model there. They all have a product that we know and is ubiquitous with their name and they generate cash. A lot of them are just bleeding off that cash by reinvesting in the business. But this is the one thing where I would agree with, I mean, naysayers like Buffett. When I look at Bitcoin, the best case scenario is that it replaces the, I mean, the US dollar, which I don't see happening. Maybe it's used in conjunction. It's an alternative currency, but to think that it is an actual asset in the same way that DocuSign or Roku or Zoom is, where it doesn't produce any value that way. As of right now, I would agree with people like Buffett. If you are looking to trade it, you are just hoping that somebody else is willing to pay more than what you bought it for.
Okay.
And I don't know if it ultimately is going to get to that point.
So what do you think?
Position in it maybe does.
Let's record. Today is the 23rd of June. Which do you think is going to happen? Netflix buys Roku. Mm. Microsoft buys DocuSign. Apple buys Peloton. You got to pick one. You got, you're investing whatever, all your Bitcoin. You got to pick one of them. Which do you think is going to happen first? If any of them happen.
If I still had to pick one that I think is the most likely to happen, it is still, and I'm probably going to look foolish on this because nothing's happened yet, but just Apple and Peloton. Peloton was at a $30 billion valuation a year and a half ago. It is now $3 billion. Apple can find that in their couch cushions, right? $3 billion for...
Yeah, 3.5
is nothing. And if nothing else... Peloton still is, as a business goes, I mean, it is still the leader in that home fitness market, the software. I mean, they have brand recognition and value. I mean, they were, I think as of last quarter, they were still cash flow positive. I mean, the supply chain issues have hit them, but I mean, I can just, there's so many opportunities to integrate this into Apple's network with their software apps, just putting a big iPad screen on there. Getting down the cost of the bicycles or whatever we're making.
Do you know what they call it? It's one of those, they call it a zombie company. They're unable to generate enough cash flow to cover their debts. But yeah, to your point, I mean, if you're getting pennies on the dollar, I like that one.
I mean,
I'm going to go
wasn't it the Fitbit one that we talked about with Google, which was the one?
Google bought Fitbit. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was $6 billion or whatever. And I'm still not sure to this day how it's technically integrated into their things, but I mean, it's not like it's, we're looking back and be like, ooh, Google really made a mistake dropping couch cushion on that company.
Well, that's my whole, we talked about before, is that's my whole point with Elon Musk. I mean, again, Apple buys Peloton, $4 billion, right? You know, I guarantee we'll even look at, what do we have here? DocuSign, their market cap right now, they're valued at $13 billion. Microsoft, mm-hmm. like you said, couch cushion, maybe shake the vending machine a little bit. I mean, they could pay for that, no problem. You're talking like $45 billion for Twitter. I just, to me, that doesn't, that to me, doesn't make sense. Or when you're talking Netflix, Roku, Roku right now, $13 billion.
Yeah,
Netflix, I mean, could buy that.
I was leaving out the premium any of these companies
would right, have to pay over it. Right, of course, I hear
but,
you.
But still, I mean,
just doing for rough
these,
numbers.
Yeah, for these monster companies, that they would have no problem financing these deals using stock or cash or a combination of both.
Okay. Good stuff, man. Well, that's all I had for today, bud.
All right. Keep your head up, keep it investing. We'll talk to everybody soon, all right?
See you.
Talk to you later, bud.